Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you are joining us here today. We have so many interesting things, God's news, behind the news, wisdom moments, and all those wonderful humor moments. Join us, VFN Radio's Extra Hour. Listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so encouraged that you have joined us, and you will be encouraged too. VFN Radio, join us in a few. Bye-bye.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining with me today in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And if you missed the first hour, we're just talking at the end of the first hour about temptation. My goodness, and how we can pray, how we can combine the supernatural and the natural, right? Prayer and That's right. some common sense to help us not to fall to the trap that the enemy has set for us using enticements and all these different things that draw them out. I tell you, this was just an encouraging word. You definitely want to make sure that you listen to this on the highlights today and share with a friend, because we can combine the supernatural and the natural to be protected and guarded as we continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. As we talk in here in the extra hour, we want to really encourage you with a wonderful, timeless treasure. If now more than ever, we need men and women to release the inner Superman and the inner Superwoman in their life. We need heroes. We need heroes. We need to, you know, it's great to look back of the heroes of the past, but if there's ever was a time for heroes to step up across this nation and across the world, the time is now. And you're going to find out what a hero is and what a hero does. I want you to be encouraged. Listen up.
You know, I think about, you know, I'm going to get a chance today. I'm going to be able to be in Mariana a little while and spend some time with Jack and Shelley Hollis, and which I love dearly. And Jack talks about, he has a teaching that he pastors there in Mariana. And also, he has a large spiritual family of ministers that he and Shelley are the spiritual parents of. They're just blessed. It's a blessed family.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And but he teaches a message called Hero. But you got to hear Jack say Hero. He says it much better than me. But the one thing he talks about heroes are not made. Mm-hmm. And everybody's trying to make a hero. But heroes just happen. Mm-hmm. You're going down the road, this is the example that he gives. You're going down the road, and all of a sudden you see there's a fire. And somebody says, there's somebody trapped inside. There's somebody trapped inside. So the question is, you know, was that person a hero before that fire, before they heard about it, or did they decide at that one moment to be a hero?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the guy runs in and rescues the dog, or he rescues the person, the kid, comes back out. And everybody goes, oh, there's a hero. Mm-hmm. Well, he wasn't a hero because he was made a hero.
Mm-hmm.
He saw a need at that moment, and he did what was required. And he at that moment, he became a hero.
Right.
You know, we think about this guard at the Family Research Council this Wednesday. You know, and everybody's declaring, you know, that this man, even the local police force, because he stopped this madman that was coming in there to kill somebody with his gun, and the security guard wrestles him. Mm. You know, wrestles him. You know, coming from law enforcement experience, we never wrestled anybody with a gun.
Did you say wrestle?
I think it was tournament.
Wrestle. I'm just saying wrestle.
Well,
how do you spell that? Wrestle.
It's wrestle, by the way. It's wrestle.
Oh, wrestle. Okay.
No, Russell. Russell. And so But, you know, in law enforcement, we're taught they have a gun. You verbally tell them to drop it. If it looks like, you know, hopefully they're not pointing it at you. If they're pointing it at you, then you just drop them.
Yeah.
But this guy wrestled this man with a gun. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, can you see John wrestling somebody with a gun?
No. I will unwrestle the gun from his hand.
Right, unwrestle. Right. John would be going like, how are you doing today? That's a nice shirt to go. As he's walking his way behind the building, right? Yeah, I know that's right. It's called wisdom, man. And so I remember I was making an arrest in the dark, and I was wrestling this particular man who was struggling with me and with addiction to crack cocaine.
Oh, great.
And on the road, and my name tag fell off.
Mm.
And the name tags have like two little barbs that go back in through your shirt, you know, like a military award type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you got these pins on the back of it. Well, I'm wrestling with him, and he's all slippery and stuff. And my name tag falls off. And it hits the road. And so I kneel down on the road when I'm trying to hold him and put cuffs on him and all this kind of stuff. And I kneel down right on my name tag. Oh, my goodness. So you can't let go and rub your knee and go, owie, owie, owie. You're the police, right? So you don't get to that. But while I was wrestling him, gunshots started going off, and they started shooting at me. But all I could see, because it was dark, was the flash of the barrel coming out from behind the corner of a wall.
Wow.
And God protected me. I didn't get
done. This wasn't the guy you were wrestling.
No.
Somewhere else.
This is actually somebody else. Yeah, this is somebody that was in the dark, I guess, behind that house, and it was so dark, all you could see was the flash of the gun shooting. So I didn't have time to see drop the gun. I just had to depend on God because I was arresting somebody that I didn't have a backup or anything, and God kept me from being shot that night, even though it was just that person.
Wow, praise God!
You know, two suspects and one of them firing at me, and not one bullet touched me. Isn't that amazing? God is so good.
Wow. He is very good.
That's awesome.
God is so good. And it was so sad because the man that was addicted to the crack cocaine was a husband, a father. He had a good job, but he messed with the drugs, and the drugs got a hold of him, and he lost everything.
Mm.
He lost everything. Wow. It was so sad. And when I did arrest him, and he finally gets past his high and all that, he looks at me and he goes, "Thank you." He thanked me for stopping the cycle of madness in his life.
Mm.
But it was very sad. I mean, he lost everything. I mean, don't mess with drugs. But anyway, so heroes, they're not made. They just happen. Like the security guard decided to wrestle a gun. You know, like I was saying that, you know, normally an officer would shoot somebody with a gun. But instead he wrestled the man with the gun. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's only done by actors in the movie, by stunt people. It's not a wise thing to do, you know.
No.
But he's a hero. You think about the guy who saw the lady or the man, whoever it was, fall, and the baby stroller go into the subway tracks or the train tracks. Mm. And he jumps down there, and they rescue the baby. And he wasn't a hero when he showed up waiting for the train, but he became a hero at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say hero like Jack. You got a hero. Matter of fact, we got to find that. I want everybody to hear Jack say hero. It's beautiful. I love it. He's so encouraging.
How's he say it?
I can't do it. I just can't do it.
Nobody can do it justice, huh?
I can't do it justice.
Yeah, multiple syllables.
I don't know. Jack, can you call Pat and let him know? Multiple syllables.
Pat, you want to try?
Like, Pat doesn't have a southern accent. You know what I'm saying?
Well, James, I was thinking that you ought to be the...
Anyway, moving on.
Oh,
moving on.
Is that finger moving again?
No. I get the forehead thing. And so with that, you know, so people say, well, everybody keeps looking for a hero.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's hero. Everybody's looking for a hero. You know, and Billy Graham, you know, he did what he was supposed to do, and he did it well. He was and is a hero, but he's coming to the end of his responsibility. You know, Oral Roberts, a hero.
Mm.
You know, Steve Hill was and is still a hero.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, this generation keeps looking for a hero instead of realizing you are the hero. You're supposed to do something. Quit looking for other people. If somebody's burning up in a house, quit looking for a firefighter who hasn't got there yet. Go rescue them. When you see a nation falling down, don't go look for a politician. You rise up yourself and say, I'm going to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's time to be the next generation's hero and say, listen, even if it costs me my life, this is just the right thing to do. And mm-hmm. you say, well, I haven't been trained how to be a hero. And you don't get trained to be a hero. You just see injustice and you do something about it. Mm-hmm. You see something wrong and you say, this is not right. David was just carrying cheese and bread to his brothers, and he looked at this thing and he saw people hiding, as we were talking about earlier this week or yesterday. He saw all of God's people hiding out behind the rocks, and he saw this giant threatening him. And that day he decided that it wasn't something, I'm going to be a hero. He just did what heroes do when mm-hmm. when you have to be one. He says, like, is there not a cause?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what America needs right now, America needs heroes, not, yeah. Fig Newtons of people's imagination, not actors, not images of heroes. They need somebody who's going to get in the trenches and is going to be steadfast and stable. And listen, this could be you. Think about it. You can go around and begin to see injustices, and you can do something about it. You can be the one who rescues the child from the situation. You can be the one that says, you know what? If nobody else is going to shepherd God's people the way God wants to shepherd God's people, God, I will shepherd your people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I will fight for them. I will train them in the ways they should go. I will disciple them. I will love them. I'll protect them. And I'll launch them into the great expectation you have for them. That's a hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a hero. You know, and what the church needs right now, the church needs heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our past heroes served us well.
Mm-hmm.
But now, this next generation, we're going to need a lot of heroes.
Yeah.
And how many mm-hmm. people, you know, they might not even know who that person is, but that one person in their life is a hero because they stood for them.
Mm-hmm.
They were there in the rough times. They were there in the tough times. They were there when things, when everything was turning against them, you didn't turn against them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a friend is born for rough times, and he will be there with you through all those times. It's not about being a hero to the world. It's about being a hero to that one person who needed you to rescue them,
mm-hmm.
to rescue them from the situation, to rescue them from religion, to rescue them from captivity and from sexual sins and pornography and the lust for power and money, to rescue them from this religious junk that's got mm-hmm. them on a treadmill of nothingness, going nowhere and doing it very slowly, as a matter of fact. You know, it's about being a hero.
Yeah.
And it's just time, I think about, Pastor Kichara and VFN Klein. Got, a group on her, she started there to be able to encourage mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called Supermom, and it's got Supermom. And she has where people in her community and all that's, getting together. And she's challenging, to be heroes for mothers, to help mm-hmm. them out. Say, hey, you can make it through this.
Yeah.
From our past where we saw injustices with the fatherless situations and
that's right.
and all that, we just stood up, just responded to the situation at hand.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And right now, listen, we need heroes in every state. We need heroes in every county. We need heroes in every city. Listen, everybody in that city should know you're in it and that you love God.
That's right.
There should be nobody in that city. I mean, if Tim Tebow, one guy who does his job with excellence, and this is a prerequisite to be known that you don't do your job lousy
right.
and then stand up for God. I'm sure God's going, psh, don't bring me up. Don't bring me up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Say, oh, no, please don't use my. Oh, great, great, great. But, do your job well. Mm-hmm. And obviously not perfectly, but be a person of integrity, and if you did something wrong, try to make it right. And if you can't make it right, repent for it. But everybody in that city should know that God.
Mm-hmm.
They should know that know how to find God. They should know that if they needed encouragement, they can come to you.
Right.
And there should be a lot of you, a lot of heroes over that city.
Mm-hmm.
And when heroes get together in that city, they don't wave some badge of hero. They just share about their stories of rescuing people and mm-hmm. helping people and speaking into leaders' lives and encouraging those that are shepherds and talking about those that have been snatched from the fire like a coal from the fire. And it's just war stories, if you would.
Yeah.
About just rescuing people.
Right.
And
that's so awesome because you see a tragedy and you see something happen. And how many times people are paralyzed you know, and they say, what do we do? What do we do? And that one person steps up at that moment and says, look, do something. Do something. They're dying. And that person steps up, and you're just like, and so they ask, are you a hero? It's like, no, I just responded. I think about New York, this little girl who fell out of a four-story window. She was dangling out of a window, and this man was down there at the bottom, and she actually fell. And when she fell, he caught her, broke her fall, and this little girl could have just died. So they ask him, you know, are you a hero? And he says, I'm not a hero. And when really he was a hero, because I just responded.
That is. That's
and,
it.
And that's a hero. That's what a hero does. What I hear you saying, that a hero responds. A hero is revealed at that moment. What would happen if we all woke up and said, you know what, I'm not going to be in the crowd and just look at it. Because there were other people there, but he was the one to stick his arms out. He was the one to say, I'm going to break her fall. I'm going to do it. And I hear what I hear you say is that just go for it. Stick your arms out. Get in the middle of it and said, you know, if it's up to me, it's up to me. I'm going to be one to stand in the gap.
Yeah, and that's true. And the thing is, you can either be popular or powerful, but you can't be them both.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're going to give up popularity when you decide to be powerful in somebody else's life, to be able to be there for them and rescue them. And the only person that may ever know that you are a hero is the one who is grateful that you rescued them and led them to God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but God knows and they know, and that's what we were supposed to do anyway. And don't worry about being popular. Worry about being powerful at the time that you need to be able to do that. And I think about on the VFN Torch, where, John, you're talking about the power that God has given us.
Mm.
You know, you can go to the VFN Torch, go to VFNTV.com, and up in the right-hand corner, you can type in any keyword, type in the keyword power, and listen to that segment, you know, talking about how much power we have to be able to rescue somebody with the power of the gospel, you know, speaking into someone's life. And that's just so important. But heroes, we need heroes, and everybody's watching the past generation. Heroes come to the end of their responsibility, and it's like the world is stuck right now, and everybody's trying to live off what was instead of being the heroes that we need today. We need heroes today. We need people to say that, you know, America is a shining hill again, a shining city on a hill again. We need people to say that you know, the church is not built by human hands. It's not brick and mortar. It's people and human beings. And that how we treat the church and how we encourage the church to know and to love God and to obey God is so relevant and so important. Those are called heroes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David Wilkerson, a hero, but now he's with God. And it's going to take people to rise up. You can't just rise up with a good idea, but you rise up at a present situation after being trained up in the things of God and saying, you know what? You know, I'm going to do something about this.
That's right.
I'm going to do this. And if it only matters to the one that I'm helping out, so be it. But I'm not going to sit back. Like happened, I think it was over in England, where a homeless man fell face first in the water while people stood around and just watched him drown.
Wow.
And they call rescue with their cell phones. And while they're watching him, nobody's helping him. Then the people come out. The people come out who are going to rescue them, and they start getting dressed with contaminant suits.
Mm.
And in the contaminant suits, because there's a policy that said, you know, that you could be contamination in the water, so you got to put these suits on, these gloves on. It's like, the man's drowning.
Right.
And they all were thinking all about themselves, and they never understood that's a human being face down in that water. And this is today's generation. It's like everybody's detached from the reality, and they're waiting for Superman to show up and fly in there and to rescue them with all these little hero movies going on, not realizing that those are just movies and actors. And, you know, I'm not saying anything against actors, but the reality is they get stunt people to do the tough stuff.
Right.
You know, they're just pretty boys and pretty women, you know, but they're not the real deal. It's an image made to look by. They're acting like a hero. You know, and we don't need anybody people acting like a hero.
Right.
You know, and more people will buy into an actor. It's amazing. Just be one. You know, normally heroes are more rugged. They have, you know, rough edges, and they're not, you know, as pretty as the world would want them to be. But they're your hero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're your hero, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Well, you know, you're sitting, you're our VFN radio listener. You're listening, and you're being encouraged, you know, day after day, and you're seeing what's going on, and you've been hearing the reports, and you feel like yourself, you want to be that hero. You're tired of sitting in maybe a with a group of other believers that are just talking about it and are looking towards maybe one hero. You can be a hero. You can be trained up for this end time move of God. And you can be a part. If you're interested in becoming a hero for God, a hero in sharing the power of the gospel that really brings true change in people's lives, people are suffering. They're suffering these days. They're in depression. There's so much calamity in the face of the earth, and they're trying everything they can to change. A better diet, a better workout, a better job, a better marriage, another home, another car, maybe if we have a baby. The only thing that can bring true transformative change in someone's life is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus can change your life. And if you want to bring that hope, you want to be a hero to a group of people, or maybe just to one person, you want to be raised up and trained up, maybe VFNU is for you, Vine Fellowship Network University. And you can find more information at vfnu.org. Be trained up and be a hero for the move of God. We'll be right back.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya, and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying, because yeah. I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him.
You know, John, when I'm listening to the VFN radio program, I am so encouraged. Mm-hmm. And I listen to it, and you got the first hour, there's that break, you go right, and I don't know about anybody else, but I'm air guitaring. During that intro, when it's coming down, all of our VFN radio listeners, it is okay to air guitar.
No, that's right.
Because as far as I know, I've got that solo mastered, and if you know it, I'm rocking that air guitar. But when that segment's over, I'm like, man, I got to wait until tomorrow to hear the next program. And I'm like, oh, all right, okay. Well, if you haven't heard yet, if you don't know yet, you can listen to a program back to back to back. Yeah, you can listen to five programs back to back to back and listen to the marathon weekend. You might be listening to the Monday's program or the Tuesday's program, and then you got to wait 24 hours for the next one. Well, you can listen to all five programs with no breaks in between. So check out the whole weekend marathon, Saturday, 9 a.m. Central until Monday, 9 a.m. Central, the weekend marathon.
If you're a believer today and you're saying, you know, I hear you, I've accepted the Lord in my heart, but there's something in my heart. I want to do something for God. You know what? Maybe VFNU is for you. It's time to be prepared. It's time. Listen, we're believing for a third great awakening. We're believing for the glory of God. We need God more than ever in our nation. Right. We need God more than ever in the church. And let me tell you, if you're tired of sitting, you know, you want to get in the game. Mm. You know, so you're tired of sitting, you want to get in the game. You want to do something for God.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I invite you, VFNU. VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University, .org, and explore the opportunity of being on the front lines. Listen, it's not as hard as what religions made it out to be. We're all called to the ministry of reconciliation, right? Reconciling the world to God. Mm-hmm. But you know what? We need to be trained up and taught.
Right.
And it's not just a university. VFN News, not just a university where you just get filled with all types of, you know, theological reference. Listen, this is just anointed God. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's just anointed God preparing you with anointed teachings as well as practical wisdom and all focused on the original intent of the church and Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He's enough.
That's right.
Listen, God has a destiny and a purpose for your life. Discover it. Ask him. He'll reveal it to you and show you what he has in store for you.
Man, I gotta tell you about this. That my grandfather, my dad's father, used to live with us. And funny, I mean, it was hilarious and some of the things. But he loved to cook everything in the pressure cooker. He loved to cook everything in a pressure cooker. And he was out there at this place that I'm talking about. And he was cooking collard greens. He was cooking collard greens and on the stove in a pressure cooker. And a pressure cooker, for those who don't know, probably it's not a microwave. It is a pot that you put water in and you seal it so tight the air can't get out of it. And if it does, it comes out of a small little area and it builds pressure up inside of it.
Mm-hmm.
It was the old-fashioned microwave.
Yeah.
It was the first microwave. And so it's a bomb on your stove, basically.
Right.
That you're creating some hydrogen bomb, you know, some water bomb on your stove. And anyway, so he's cooking in the kitchen or whatever. We had these real high ceilings and these beams up real high. And all of a sudden we hear this kaboom! The explosion that took place. And we come running, you know, in there to find out what's going on. Man, there was collard greens all over the place. There was greens in the ceiling, greens everywhere. And he didn't have before hairs on his head. He had greens on his head. There was greens everywhere.
Oh, no.
He tried to take a peek to see if the greens were done yet. And he opened the lid.
He opened the lid while I was on.
And it went kaboom. Oh, my goodness. That was so funny. You don't, when you're cooking in a pressure cooker, you just got to trust. You got to move by faith. I think it's done. You take it off. You take it over to the sink. You let cold water run over it until you got a peace with God. And then you open it. Because it's a bomb. It's literally a bomb. But then I thought it was just, that was, what's that?
Speaking of grandfathers, it's hilarious. Must be a grandfather thing with explosions. Yeah. I remember my grandfather, he used to shave. And used
Your
to
grandfather
heat.
Shaved?
Yeah, he shaved. He shaved. But he used to shave with, he used to heat the can. I guess I don't use cans anymore, but I guess they still do. But the shaving cream can. And he would heat it up.
Yeah, we actually still use cans.
What are you doing?
I don't use shaving cream. I don't use shaving cream.
That's right. He's a dry shaver.
Oh.
Let's get back to the story. Come on.
You're so delicate. You're a delicate flower. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
So he's heating up this can but it's in hot water.
Right.
And I guess he's been doing this for years.
Hot shave. Well,
yeah, it's shaving cream, hot shave. Mm-hmm. But the thing explodes. It can't explode.
Is it on the stove?
No, this was, I guess, in the sink in the bathroom somewhere. I don't know what he was doing. I was a kid.
Right.
I woke up and I thought it snowed inside the house. Right. There was shaving cream everywhere. Yeah. All over his face, all over his body. And his shocked look. Oh, it was hilarious.
So this is a grandfather that used to mess with a lot.
Oh,
is that the one
yes.
you did that thing to?
All those things, too. It's amazing. It's amazing that it boils on in water.
Yeah, right.
We were at each other with water guns. He'd chase me down and all kinds of stuff. We had some funny moments. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. And my goodness, we need some heroes, man. Are you ready to be a hero?
Oh yeah.
I can't do it. I don't have that Southern dialect, but I wish we could get Jax the way he says hero. I mean,
well,
that's so
do that Northern thing you do.
I don't know what you're talking about, but
you know,
my heroes.
That Northern
my
thing
heroes.
You do. Come on.
We're talking about Jack. Okay.
You know,
talking about Jack.
You say tournament and, you know, cause.
I love Jack. Because Jack is an awesome man of God, and him and I see eye to eye. We see eye to eye because we're both the same height.
That's
awesome,
really.
Guy. Awesome guy. By the way, if you're listening with us today and by chance you missed yesterday's program, we want to just share with you, you missed an exciting program and some of the highlights that you can find from yesterday's program. We talked about giving it all to Jesus. Giving it all to Jesus and not holding anything back. We talked about treason to preach the gospel. My goodness, you've got to listen to that. And we talked about the will of God, the perfect, pleasing, and perfect will of the Lord, and so much more. But you miss one day of VFN radio, and you miss a lot.
That's right.
You miss a lot. So you want to make sure to go back and check the highlights and listen to them for yourself and share with a friend. But you know, Pat, Chris, I was talking about with someone here not too long ago about the joy of the Lord. Mm. And I don't know about you, but I need the joy. I love the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
And the Bible in Ecclesiastes tells us in chapter 3 that there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun, under the heavens, right? Mm-hmm. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, mm-hmm. a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. The wisdom of God. I mean, there is the time and a season for everything.
Yeah.
And there's a season that I believe we can live in a place of complete joy. I mean, the joy of God. We're not talking about happiness based on happenstance and things that just happen, but we're talking about an inner joy that we can have in the Lord. And you know, many today are depressed and they're downcast, and bad news sometimes hits them just as fast as bugs hit a windshield on a hot day in the south.
I know, that's right.
The south, like, splattered all over my bumper there, and it just looks black. But just all these events just start hitting. And the truth is that there is enough things that can happen to you on any given day that if you sit back and park on it, they will take you down a very slippery slope of sadness, depression, and even despair. And throughout life, I mean, you will have bad things happen to you and you'll have good things happen. I mean, it's just kind of part of life. And sometimes they happen all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just have to have perspective in the midst of everything that's happening. But what you choose to give your time and your attention will grow and be magnified in your life.
Right.
You have both things happening. You have good times and bad times, trials and tribulations, and wonderful and exceeding joy in your life kind of all happening. And you need to have perspective, and you need to know that whatever you magnify, whatever you set your attention and your heart to think about, it's just going to become bigger in your life. And Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And there's something about sadness and depression that's disabling. I mean, it's just you become paralyzed, you become lethargic, you become slow, and it's this down and out. And it's like, oh my goodness, someone give them a shot of joy or something. Give them, you know, wake up. It's because you're going down. You're going down. And we need the joy. We need joy in our life and return back to a place of being in you know, alive. And something about joy that just kind of sparks your fire on the inside and just kind of propels you and push you along life. There's nothing like experiencing that happiness that comes. And even though, you know, for the believer, and though bad things happen, I mean, there is a joy in the midst of that to know that, you know what, God has me. God has me. And again, I may not know what tomorrow holds, but because I know the one who holds tomorrow, I'm going to be okay. And this too shall pass. And God will turn my season of mourning into a season of dancing, that this is just temporal, and that I can make it through this. And because God is in my life, maybe what the enemy meant for evil, God will turn out for good. Mm-hmm. And though I may be down, I'm definitely not out.
That's right.
And even though I'm struck down, I am not destroyed, right?
But right.
I'm pressing on, and I'm going to be choose to magnify the good things, the great things, the wonderful things that the Lord is doing. But, I mean, David himself spoke. I mean, he spoke something like a speech to yourself. I mean, David did. He said, you know, soul, why are you so downcast within me? You know, sometimes you got to do a checkup from the neck up. I mean, just, you know, check inwardly. You know what I'm saying? Check it out. What is happening? What is going on? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I used to ask somebody, what's wrong? It's like, nothing. Well, your face is telling me something different. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, show me something here, because this is not good. Have you ever been driving down a road and
a few times.
Maybe just lost in your thoughts? Yeah, sometimes. And when you're driving, you know, you just kind of get lost in your thoughts. Like, this is scary. I will confess this on the radio, okay? For this brief moment, edit later, please. But have you arrived somewhere and 10 minutes later realized, how did I get here? What did I pass on the way here?
Yeah, right.
Was my car on autopilot just a little while ago? But you've been thinking about something, you know, you left the house and you were just, you know, joy or excited and just fine. Everything was cool. And then as you're driving and you're arriving to your place of your destination,
mm-hmm.
and then you realize, dude, I'm like sad or something. I'm like, you know,
mm-hmm.
You're like in a funk or something. You're like, what happened? Like, what's the deal here? I mean, you know, just kind of that notice where you kind of just wake up and you're reflecting like, mm-hmm. okay. And then you remember, oh yeah, I was thinking about that ticket, or oh yeah, I was thinking about that bill that came in, or oh yeah, I was thinking about that situation that just happened that I got to address. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oftentimes our emotions are like indicators. They alert us to what we've been thinking about. It's amazing how that happens, is that your emotions tell on you.
Mm-hmm.
That you're sad. It's like, how did you get, you just didn't wake up sad one day. What, you're like, what just happened? And sometimes that can happen, I guess, but oftentimes you've been meditating and thinking about a situation, sometimes not even knowing that you've been giving thought to it. You've were in a default mode, if you will, and just went straight there.
Mm-hmm.
And so you, and then your emotions tell on you. And you, the thing about it is that you can go back, you can redirect your thoughts. Philippians tells us, 4:8 says, brothers and sisters, I mean, whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's right, and whatever's pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And I used to think that I could turn my mind off, but, you know, that doesn't work.
I've tried. It doesn't work.
It don't work. But what you can do is that you can redirect your thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
You can redirect your thoughts. And, I mean, we're living in a time where God has done so much for you. And we're also living in the same, like this, at the same moment, I've not seen God do so much, if you will, in so many people's lives. And then at the same time, I've seen so little credit being given to God for all the goodness that he's been doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we can live in a place of just complacency and not remembering you know, his majesty and his goodness and his greatness and his compassion and his love and all the wonderful things that he has given us, then just kind of take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
And we can think back and begin to reflect on, God, you're just so good. You've just been so good to me. You've been so good to my family. You've watched over us. You've protected us. We're whole. And begin to start having a heart of gratitude that thanks the Lord for not only what he's done for your life, what he's done for the family, what he's done for the church. And I'm telling you that a great sense of gratitude, a great sense of joy will start filling your heart. And it will pull you out of the sadness. It will pull you out of anything that's holding you down when you reflect on the goodness of the Lord. I'm telling you that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. We'll be right back.
Yeah, I want to encourage you, as you're listening to BFN Radio every day, we're 24-7. We're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're live 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central, but we're 24-7. Anytime, any time zone, all the way from Okinawa, Japan, to San Diego, California. You know what I'm saying? You can come on to VFNTV.com or download our app and listen live. But we also have highlights. We actually have an entire two-hour broadcast broken up into certain segments that you can, something, you know, it just may be on your heart or on your, you wanted to hear that one thing. It's all you have time for. It's all you wanted to hear. And that's why we do that. And you can go right to that on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com and click on the Torch. Or you can go to your app and just kind of thumb through the names of the highlights and listen to that one segment. But that's all for you. We want to deliver everything that we're called to deliver to you in any way that we can that helps you meet your need at that time. Sometimes you just don't have time to get it this way. You have to get it that way. And sometimes you don't have time to get it that way. You get it this way. So don't forget, you can go to VFNTV.com. You can go to VFNTV.com and it's there for you. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation and this nation by God's grace to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. So what is this stuff now? I know that, you know, Steve was leaving last night. We got a chance to spend some time together. He was in the secret place and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And like slap your mama hot sauce. Is that right?
I did.
Are you serious?
I did. Yeah.
What is slap your mama hot sauce? I can't believe that you would even think of your mother is so sweet.
Well, you know, not something you actually do.
Well, actually.
What?
Mother bought her own slap your mama hot sauce.
Are you serious?
She did. I was blown away. I was found it in my cupboard the other night. It was, yeah. So where did this come from?
So your mother bought you slap your mama.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Yeah.
Is that crazy?
Yeah.
So then, well, I'm not going to buy any slap your mama. You know what I'm saying? It sounds like slap your mama. You know? Why do they call it slap your mama? So why not?
Well, there's a southern saying, I guess you would call it.
If we get any further south, we'll be in Mexico. We're talking about southern. I don't know about
slap your mama. We'll probably Louisiana more than anything. I guess it kind of drifted over here to the east. But, you know, when something's so good, it's just like, man, it's so good. It just makes you want to slap your mama.
Did your mama ever get you something nice for Christmas or anything like that? That's terrible. You mean if something good happens, you slapped your mother?
Well, no, food, something that you eat.
Didn't she fix you dinner and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Was anything good?
Yeah, all the time.
Bless her heart. Bless her heart.
How many times did you slap mom?
You slapped your mother?
Never slapped her.
You said, but it's a Southern way of doing things.
That's a Southern saying. That's
saying. Shoo. Yeah, I was like, oh my goodness. I'm thinking, that's terrible.
I never knew.
Yeah. My mother would say, well, he bought that once. He bought that once. He ain't buying that no more.
Yeah, and I said it to Steve one day. We were fixing to eat something. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of Christmas ribs.
He's from Detroit Lions.
He's from Detroit. They don't have, apparently, they don't have hot sauce or anything spicy up north. So we've indoctrinated him to hot sauce since he's been here.
So what does it taste like? What does slap your mama taste like?
It's just real hot, spicy, you know, Tabasco-y.
If you had to compare it to nuclear waste and...
Not quite that hot.
So it's hot?
That's toxic. It's really hot, yeah.
Is it really?
You probably wouldn't like it.
Like that wasabi sauce?
Wasabi?
Wasabi?
That's a different type of sauce.
Oh, wasabi.
Whoa, wasabi.
Whoa, I love that. You're wasabi. That's very good. Chris seldom says anything wrong. We got to get the wasabi.
Yeah.
The wasabi.
We can make a segment out of that.
You spell that wasabi. So it's hotter than?
Wasabi?
Yeah.
It's a different type of heat. Wasabi will just clean your sinuses completely out if you have any problems.
We don't need any details here. What happens with your system? So why don't you just like throw a match in your mouth? I don't understand why you're doing this. I mean, if you eat,
it's just I enjoy the burn.
You're a fire swallower, like the guy in the circus where they swallow fire, right?
Not quite.
You think about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened to me. It was Second Street.
Always goes back to Second
Street. Yeah, Second Street, Second Street, Second Street, or Carver. Anyway, we won't talk about Carver. So I'm looking at a bottle right now online. It is called Slap Your Mama.
Yes, it is.
But they have powder Slap Your Mama and liquid Slap Your Mama.
Yeah. I bought him both, actually.
You did?
I got him the powder and the sauce.
Well.
It's seasoning, you know, you put on your stuff.
Oh, okay. All right. Got it. Well, it was just a new thing for me. I just didn't realize. When I saw it, I said, oh, it's hot sauce. And you're telling me, like, slap your mama. I should have read it. I could have bought some for my mama. That would have been terrible. Well, Steve, don't slap your mama. She's a very sweet lady. Very sweet lady.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining with me today in the extra hour is Pat and Chris.
Just makes you want to slap your mama.
No. See, if I slap my mama, she'll slap me back so hard that I won't be able to taste again.
Yeah, slap the taste out your mouth.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe y'all would even just slap your mama.
No, we never did that.
And the taste thing. I mean, I still can't get past. How can you taste when your food is aflame? See, I like to taste the food.
You won't even eat mayonnaise. Come on.
Listen, I don't like
that flavorless
white
food.
I mean, I don't like the white gooey stuff. But listen,
you just
I like
bread, piece of meat. That's it. That's all you eat.
I like taste. I don't like fire. On my tongue. I mean, I don't know how do you get the flavor with
it's
that?
It's not
how
fire, man. It's just tingly.
Tingly.
I don't know, man. I've had some of that wasabi sauce and
wasabi.
No, it's wasabi, but it's like wasabi.
Because
it just melts your taste buds off, so you can't taste anything anymore after that.
I see that. Had to be what happened on Second Street. Had to be Second Street. I'll tell you.
It had to be.
Well, guys, I was reading the word the other day. And in Mark 16, it's just amazing how God equips his church and he equips his disciples. But he talks about the disciples went out and they preached everywhere. Think about this. They preached everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by signs that accompanied it. And I think about just how the disciples just went out. Mm-hmm. They went out and they did what God told them to do. And they preached the word. And as they obeyed, the Lord, I'm talking about God, he went with them.
Yeah.
The Lord was faithful. He accompanied them. he assisted them in the ministry. And I thought that was just so incredibly cool, because the Lord doesn't come along as a silent partner. He doesn't tag along, or he's not a bystander, but he comes along to work with us, to work with you, to work with me in the sharing and the witnessing and the teaching and the demonstrating of his kingdom. And God is with us. Yeah. God is with us, and he partners with us. That thought alone, that we partner with God and he partners with us. I mean, when we are with him, basically, he's with us.
Right. That's that being yoked with him that he carries. Absolutely. Because he's the one leading and guiding you.
Absolutely. And to know that he confirms his word by the signs that accompany it. I mean, where to go to preach, right? Where to go to share. Mm-hmm. And preaching doesn't always consist of opening our mouths, because we talk about Francis of Assisi. You say, just live it. You know, just live it. Right. But we go to preach, and the Lord comes along. He comes along, and he doesn't come just to come, but he works with us. He works with us, and he does that through the confirmation of the message, through the signs, and from the wonders. And this should give us great boldness when we're stepping out to others and we're reaching out for others for the Lord. I mean, you're not alone. You're not by yourself. God delights to work with you and to be with you. I mean, he lives inside of you all the time. Mm-hmm. All the time. And believe you me, he wants to reach that person. he wants that person to be ministered to. And I love the signs that accompany. He says in verse 17 that these signs will accompany those who believe, that in my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, and they will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. And they will place on the hands of the sick and they will get well. We spoke about that actually a few days ago on the tremendous blessing of the laying on of hands. I mean, God is working to confirm his message. And I think about what happened in the book of Acts when Philip, the evangelist, is out and about. And we hear in Acts chapter 8 that an angel of the Lord said to Philip, listen to this, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. I mean, this is specific instructions. It says, go south to the road, to the desert road, not any road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out on his way, and he met an Ethiopian eunuch. This was an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, of the queen of the Ethiopians. So here's his official. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and was on his way home, and he was sitting on, you know, in his chariot, and he's reading the book of Isaiah. And so here you have the Holy Spirit using an angel, right? God using an angel to speak to Philip, to giving him direction of where to go. I mean, thank you for the voice of the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. And hearing God's voice and hearing what God wants you to do. And so Philip obeys God, and he starts heading south. And what happens? There's a convergence. There's a meeting. There's an encounter that God is the one that's setting up. I mean, God is doing this. And he finds that there's an Ethiopian who's of high rank, some important official there, who we find out the backstory is he went to worship God. And he's reading the book of Isaiah. And in verse 29, the Spirit told Philip. I mean, we are meant to hear God's voice. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So again, another opportunity for Philip to obey God's voice. So he steps up to it. Mm-hmm. And then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah. And said this. And what's so amazing is that this man really didn't even know what he was reading. I mean, you know, Philip had to explain it to him. So he hops in and starts explaining to him what he just read. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God knows all things. And it would be wise for us to listen to his leading, to listen to his promptings, and to do what he says. Now he God knows yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and he sees it all at the same time. Mm-hmm. All we have is some of yesterday, of what we remember of yesterday, and all we have is today, the present, but we don't have the tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we certainly don't have the wisdom and the perspective of God to put it all together, but he does. He sees it all at the same time. Mm-hmm. And so in this exact, you know, situation, you know, God knew the exact what was going on, the exact place, the exact time where the Ethiopian would be traveling, and spoke to Philip and gave him a word of knowledge, giving specifically the details of where to go. And it's so important to remember that the Holy Spirit didn't tell Philip everything. He just told him what he needed to know. He just told him what he needed to know. Mm-hmm. And Philip was at the right location. In verse 29, the Spirit of the Lord tells him, go, go, go. And stay near the chariot. And because he was able to obey the Lord, he was able to minister to this eunuch. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about how the Holy Spirit and God accompanies us, and he's not a silent partner. He's not a ride-along. He's not a bystander. But God wants to work with us when we're working with him, when we place him at the center, and when we place value on hearing his voice. God wants to equip us to reach the lost. He wants to equip us and partner with us when we're sharing the love of God with others. And it's just an amazing to see how all of that unfolded in his life. I mean, we're supposed to live out of the preceding word of God. And that's, you know, we walk in faith and we obey God's word. And it's just amazing. I think about even a situation in my own life when we stepped out, my family and I, to do a prayer walk, and God gave us an exact place to go, an exact place. And we just headed out. It's all we had in the beginning. We just started praying. Mm-hmm. And as we went, we were just, you know, God kept directing our steps and turn here and turn there. And then before you knew it, we ended up in a park. And when we ended up in this park, I sat down on these steps. And I, amazingly, I sat down next to this young man who had just came there from Ecuador. He'd only been living in the area mm-hmm. for 3 months. I had been living only in the area for about 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
And at that moment, we converged. God just connected us. And to this day, not only does the young man know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, but we have relationship. He's amongst the family, the church. Mm. And I think about, wow, the amazing voice of the Lord and his partnership with us and us with him. And a person was absolutely touched for God. He's in the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And our life has been forever enriched by knowing him. I want to encourage you today that God will use you. God will use you to reach the multitude. He will use you to reach people all over the place. We just have to work with him, because he'll definitely work with us. He's our partner, and we partner with him.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.